Well, I guess I've received one answer to a question this morning. How many of you have sheep and you have lost one? We know that Glenn has some sheep. We heard him talk about it. Matter of fact, he's lost it again. It's right here. Or how many of you have, ladies, have lost a coin and you swept diligently all the corners of your house and searched diligently for the coin, and when you found it, you called all your friends and said, "Come and rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." May I see your hand? So we don't know a whole lot about what this passage is talking about, do we? From practical experience. How many of you have lost your car keys? Sometimes you might think you forget they're back there, but you really don't. You know they're back there. How many of you have lost your checkbook and searched diligently until you found it? How many of you have lost a dog and went out searching diligently for your dog or your cat? I mean, you know, we got to keep this equal. It's about Clemson and Carolina, isn't it? Just about that bad. You know, as I read this passage of Scripture and I thought about those experiences that I have had in my life, and I remember, I was telling Linda the other day that this probably is the first time in a long, long while, maybe the first time in my life that I have ever been, except when I was in the military, and even then I had a dog at home with mom and dad, that I did not have a pet dog. Even in sometimes a dog or a cat. And I can remember at times when, for some reason, this dog would get lost. A few years ago, we had a Dalmatian, and I left him at home while we went on a vacation. I had a neighbor to look out for him, and I had him tied there to a tree, and the neighbor was next door, and so everything was fine until lightning struck the house, and I'm assuming the tree. And when we got home, the chain was stretched across the yard to where, as far as it could go, and there was a collar on the ground, but the dog was gone. And I called several people. And I said, "Have you seen a Dalmatian?" And I kept asking. And a lady told me, said, "Why don't you just go out into the woods and you call. And this dog, if it can hear you, it will know that you're looking for it. And maybe if it's just injured or something, that it'll find its way home." And I would go out. And I know my neighbors, if they saw me, had to think I was crazy. "Freckles." I mean, you can imagine Dalmatian, you know, Ben Freckles. So "Freckles." And then I would go out somewhere else, "Freckles." And then one day I received a telephone call. Guess who is in the backyard? Freckles. He never barked quite like he did before. Sort of had a backwards bark, you know. But it was a happy day when Freckles came home. And I went home. I don't know where I was visiting. And I discontinued my visit just so I could go home and pet Freckles. As I think about lost things, and I think about those experiences of putting want ads in the paper, I lost another dog. And this one was a German Shepherd, and she was a beautiful little black and tan, and been gone, and I put an ad in the paper, and somebody called me and said, "I think I have your dog." And how happy it was to receive my little puppy back home that I had gotten for my little girls, and how happy we were as a family. You know, I can relate to things like that. And Jesus here is talking to those individuals that have become so critical of him. And in the last several readings that we've had in Luke, it has been the scribes and the Pharisees, those religious individuals that were so critical of Jesus because, you see, he was entertaining tax collectors and sinners. And so Jesus tells this parable to us about these lost things. I think about those individuals sometimes that maybe we don't want our children playing around. Sometimes those individuals that could be a bad influence. To put this in perspective, all the Jewish nation hated the tax collectors, and most of you probably know the story, but in case you don't, these were Jews who were hired out by the Roman government. And if they were to collect, say, like a dollar, and they would come to you and say, well, you really owe $10. And if you didn't pay it, they were backed up by the Roman government, so you had to pay the 10 or go to jail. And so they were rich. And people disliked them. Matter of fact, they hated them. They were known as thieves and robbers. And this lady, she apparently carried her money around her neck, and it was like her dowry, and it was her value. And so when she lost this coin, she lost some of her value. Whenever she was to be married, it was her worth. Jesus speaks to us about these individuals. In my last church at Wesley, we had a soup kitchen. I was talking with the minister who is there now, Pam. And Pam was telling me that last week, or week before last, before I went to bishop school last week, she said, we served 125 people a day in a little small town of Hartsville. Each day while I was there, we fed 60, 70, 80. As it got toward the end of the month, the numbers would go up. In the 4 years that I was there, I do not know of a single individual that went to church or found Christ as their Savior because of that soup kitchen. I used to go across the street and spend some time and talking with these individuals. I discovered two individuals on a cold winter's day that didn't have a place to stay, and I said, guys, I can't do this. And so I took them down to the motel and got them a room, offered to buy them a meal, and they said, let's go to the store. You can buy some bologna and a sandwich and stuff, and we can eat for 3 or 4 days, where if you just buy one meal, you'll spend more than we can buy at the store, and we can be full. And I looked down and I said, guys, I can't do this every day. I'm sorry. I wished I could. I can't fix all that's broke about you, and I can't fix all the broken people that are here. But neither can I let you stay outside on this cold winter's day. I even told him, you can sleep on the porch here at the church. And if the policeman says anything to him, you tell him, you talk to Reverend Martin. You can stay here. But my question is this. When we feed the hungry and when we clothe the naked, do we tell the story of why we do what we do? I was out hunting one day and I had two bird dogs with me and one that I had trained from a pup. I love that dog. I love both of these dogs. They were special to me. And as I was out in the woods, I heard this big old bark from a dog that I knew had to be at least 10 feet tall. And I became concerned about my bird dogs, and so I tried to call them close to me because I could tell that this dog meant business. And sure enough, I saw one of my dogs kind of stop and look at him, and I said, uh-oh, he's seen that dog. So I ran down there to where my dog, here was this dog, huge, big old Great Dane type, caught in a steel trap. I said, oh my goodness. And so the dog just kind of looked at me. So I did one of those crazy things that you do in a situation like that. I took off my hunting jacket and I walked over to the dog, and he was as back or far away from me as a chain would go. And I threw my jacket around his head so he couldn't bite me. And I pushed down on the steel trap and his foot came out. And then I ran back not knowing what he would do. And my jacket kind of fell off the dog. And the dog looked at me and his tail started to wag. Now, if you know anything about dogs, what that meant was, you look like a nice guy and you could really adopt me. And I can only imagine what it would have been like if I'd have took this big old Great Dane looking dog home after going on a bird hunt. I mean, how do you explain that? And so I looked at the dog and I said, get out of here. And away he went. Something between a bird flying through the woods and a horse galloping. And I never saw him again. I wonder, sometimes as a church, if that's not what we say when we feed these individuals and give them clothes. We say, now we'll give you clothes and we'll feed you, but you go home, you hear? You get out of here and leave us alone. When I think the reality is that the things that we do is so that we can share the good news of Jesus Christ. Woody Woodson, one of my very good friends in the military, talks about colors. Individuals that represent colors. He says, when you are red, you're angry. When you are red, you're out of control. When you are red, you say things you shouldn't say and you do things you shouldn't do. I mean, you don't act your age, as we would say. When you're green, you're envious, jealous. But when you're blue, you're in control. You're in control of your emotions, you're in control of your vocabulary. And you know, if you don't quite know what red is what you do when a person cuts you off in traffic. You know, and you throw up your fist, as good Methodists, you throw up your fist, and you know, and you say, why did you do that? You know, that's red. When you just say, well, go ahead, you know, I've done worse, and now you're blue. Woody says, there's never a reason to fly red, and you should never be green. You should always be blue. And I looked at Woody one day while he was teaching this in one of our classes, and I said, well, Woody, how about it if you're just striped? Because sometimes I'm striped. A cross between a little bit of it all. Sometimes as a church, I wonder if we're striped. Jesus calls for us to reach the lost. What do lost sheep look like? I can tell you a little bit about what lost dogs look like. I can tell you a little bit about what devalued persons look like from time to time. And on occasions, I can tell you what restored individuals look like. And I think that's what Christ is calling us to be, in that color where we love individuals, where we love not just the righteous, but we love all of God's children. So as you read this passage of Scripture, here's the question I think you can ask. Where do you see yourself in this passage? Are you like Jesus, who is always reaching out for those that are in all the various areas of life, sometimes good, sometimes righteous, sometimes bad, sometimes striped? Are you like those scribes and Pharisees that are sometimes critical of the best efforts that we can do? Are you like one of these individuals? You've done wrong. You know you've done wrong. And you need God's forgiveness. Or you've lost some of your value. You've done those things maybe that have caused you to be less than desirable. And you need restoring. You need your self-worth back. I think this passage of Scripture says to us, wherever you are in this illustration, God loves you. And God sent His Son into the world to redeem all of these individuals. There's no one that God loves any more or any less then He loves you and me. Let us be the church that loves God's children. Amen.